Joined in the studio by Charles Storer, MBE. He is from the charity Hope and Aid Direct. In fact, he is the head of operations. Now, you've come in today to talk about aid that's needed. Been over recently to Lesbos, which is in Greece. And you're here also to talk about the migrant crisis, because people might not realise, we were just talking off air there, what we see on the news. I always try and look at different sort of news sources as well, because you sometimes just get fed the same stories, and you will actually, you know, be telling us what life is like over there. Before we talk about that, why did you set up the charity? It's been going for about 20 years.
I started back in 1996 when the Balkan War had taken place in Croatia and Serbia and Bosnia.
Yeah.
And I found I couldn't just sit back on the and watch the television and not do anything. And I just got involved, and it gets under your skin a little bit.
When you're talking about sort of Bosnia, but it was Yugoslavia, people don't think sometimes that, you know, when you see people that lost their homes, have nowhere to go, things like that can still have happened somewhere
definitely.
In the UK. And people think, you know, when you're talking about places like Syria, these people weren't living, you know, they were living in cities and places where people went to work and went to have their parties and went out in the evening and went to restaurants. It's no different from the life that we have over in the UK.
Exactly right. And this is why I feel very passionate about what's going on at the moment with the migrant crisis. You know, I look at things on the basis of, if I was in that position, I would hope that there would be somebody who would offer me help. Hmm. And the people who are risking everything, risking their lives to escape and to get to the island of Lesbos, which I'll come to talk to you about a little bit, those people are fleeing for their lives. There are 3,000 people have died just trying to make the crossings to Lesbos. The people who are making their way across Europe are desperate, and, you know, we all live on the same planet and we need to help each other. There are obviously people who are trying to deal with the traffickers, but I can tell you that the stories that are coming out from the migrants themselves who are reaching the shores in Lesbos, each of them is paying something like €1,500 per person to get on the boats to go across. The traffickers are effectively keeping the families hostage. They're splitting up the men and the women, putting them in different boats. They're keeping back people in Turkey and insisting that a migrant takes the boat over to the island and then comes back with the boat. Mm. Otherwise their family can't get across, and all sorts of things like that are happening.
How long were you out there for, and how many times have you been out there so far to Lesbos?
Well, I've only been there once. I went out to... I've just come back with the charity from Kosovo, where we took a large amount of humanitarian aid. Within a week I went back out. I went to the northern and the southern borders of Macedonia to the transit points to see what the situation was like there before then going on to Lesbos. And the idea was really to just go out as an assessment trip to really find out, should we be doing something, and if so, what should we be doing, and where should we best make the best use of our resources. And it was very obvious to me that we needed to do something in Lesbos.
When you go out there, are there just migrants all over the place, or around by the coastline, or are they sort of sectioned off somewhere? How is it working over there?
They're coming across... they're obviously trying to take the shortest distance from Turkey to the islands, and it's incidentally Lesbos out there with a V. We say Lesbos, but they're actually arriving in all the other islands as well, Chios and Teros and Leros, among others. They're taking the shortest distance. Mainly, they're coming across to the northern coastline along Lesbos, but they're also coming down on the eastern side of the coast. There were 80 boats yesterday. Each boat is crammed with people, at least 30 to 40 people on each boat.
When you're there, are you just walking among... Is it just absolutely overrun with people? And what sort of conditions are people having to live in? Or is there anyone there that's sort of giving out food or water or medicines or...
Yeah, there are a lot of volunteers from all over the world, wonderful people who've just basically gone over there without really having a plan to say, look, I can't not do anything, I have to go. There are groups of volunteers at different points around the island. It's mainly taking place, obviously, on the coast, so there are people who are spotting to look for the boats. They're arriving. Everybody who comes off the boats is in some form of trauma, babies literally to grandparents and everything in between. They're coming out of the boats. They're already wet because they're in a rubber raft that has no seat, no handrails. they're not wearing life jackets, they're wearing buoyancy aids, and the buoyancy aids are cheap, and many of them, there was one man that came across with polystyrene strapped around his chest. They're soaking wet, they're having to get into the water to get off the beach, so the people that are on the beaches are trying to put them into dry socks and dry trousers and shoes before they then go to the next stage, which means a walk to the first transit point where they get further help.
So when they go from that transit point, they're going somewhere where they probably will get a hot meal and sort of...
I wish that were the case.
Right.
The volunteers are trying to give them a hot drink, whether that's a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or something like that. They're not giving them food because they don't have kitchens established on all of the beach points. When they get to the first transit point... There are further facilities there, but it's tented facilities. It's all being provided on a sort of piecemeal basis. They're given a ticket to get a bus then to the southeastern end of the island, and there are two basic camps. If they're Syrian, they're being sent to a camp called Moriah, and if they're any other nationality, they're having to go to a camp called Kara Tepe. And at that point, they're then registered as asylum seekers and going through that process. They don't have the facilities there to be able to give them the proper hot food and everything else that they need.
So how many people are in these facilities at the moment, would you guess?
Well, it's changing every day, and it's extremely difficult to know exactly what the numbers are. But in when there was bad weather on the Turkish side of the Aegean a week ago, and everything slowed down, and then all of a sudden the boat started coming again, and the weather now is really bad, but they're still coming. So the numbers in the camps, we're talking thousands. They don't have enough accommodation for everybody to sleep under a roof, and literally thousands of people are currently sleeping in the open air at night. They've got storms, they've got rain, they're getting extremely wet and extremely uncomfortable.
What in particular are you looking for today?
Well, what we're planning to do is take three trucks of humanitarian aid over there in January. I shall be driving one, and we'll be taking a 40-ton articulated lorry of aid plus two 7.5-ton trucks. We're very specifically targeting the particular things that they need. So if you can imagine that these people are carrying all of their worldly possessions on their back, everything they own, and their babies and their children, we need rucksacks badly, or backpacks, so that they can put into those bags whatever they're trying to carry, because very often they're arriving with plastic bags. So, very specifically, we're trying to concentrate the people of Brentwood and Billericay on waterproof coats. Really, really important that they're waterproof. So the sort of thing that you would get with a Gore-Tex outer and a fleecy lining, something of that nature.
And that's for all ages, not just adults.
That's for all ages.
Children.
We're talking babies and adults and everything in between. Also, sleeping bags, but they need to be season 3 sleeping bags or above, ideally. But they must be, they absolutely must be in a drawstring bag which they can carry on their shoulder, or in a stuff sack with compression straps to make them small so that they can go into the bag that they're carrying. Because once they're wet, if they're carrying them outside and it's raining, they're useless. And then thirdly and lastly, with socks. Particularly want new socks, but good socks. But we badly need, because as they're coming off the beaches, they're trying to take their wet shoes and socks off, put a dry pair of socks on, a plastic bag over the socks, and then put them back into the shoes that they've got if they haven't got enough shoes, and they certainly haven't got enough shoes out there at the moment.
So are you looking for shoes as well, or is that that's kind of what they sort of walking sort of
well
walking
ideally
shoes?
Strong trainers, because they're going to do a lot of walking, but I mean, I'd really concentrate everybody on waterproof coats, socks, and sleeping bags, which must be in a stuff sack or in a drawstring bag. And of course, we're looking for donations, because it's going to cost us quite a lot to take the it's going to take cost us a number of £1,000 to get the trucks over there.
This needs to be together by the 11th of December. So you're looking to get the donations over the next couple of weeks. So if you are out there sort of getting your Christmas shopping, buy something a little bit extra. That's all it is.
Extra socks. Thermal underwear. Socks and underwear. Anything to be delivered, please, to Ingatestone Post Office, who very kindly agreed to accept it there. And it has to be done in the next 2 weeks.
Ingatestone Post Office. And we have to mention Mr. Patrick Shering as well, who does Friday Night Extra here at Phoenix FM.
Yeah, indeed. Patrick's very kindly helped us out. They're doing a collection through the parish church in Ingatestone. It's doing the same sort of thing. But there's details about what we're doing on our website.
Yep.
The name of the charity, Hope and Aid Direct. It sort of does what it says on the tin. We're trying to lift the spirits of people who really have absolutely no hope. We're giving them aid, and we're doing it directly. And www.hopeandaiddirect.org.uk. If you go onto the website and click on the migration link, you'll see videos and photographs and lots of the information about what actually we saw, or I saw, when I was out there.